Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through.
Conversation and also part of the Patriots Journalist Network. And thank you for either following the link or coming on here via other modes on the internet or also from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, in which you can also find a link to the Bard's Logic Political site from the homepage of the show's on Blog Talk Radio's homepage. And there you will find a link to the Patriot Journalist Network on the About the Show page. Just scroll to the very bottom, and you will see, just push the button, you'll see the link there. And the other shows you will find on the Patriot Journalist Network are this show, of course, and this show is going to be from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., Sunday through Thursday, Eastern Time, and the other shows are also Eastern Time. You will also have Samuel Sanford's show, which is on from 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. and sometimes even 2 a.m., and that is, excuse me, that is every day of the week. And then you will also have the Tex and Rex show, which is on Friday and Saturday evenings from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then you'll also see on there Mark Prasik's live video chat, which I believe that is from 10 to midnight. That schedule's been fluctuating a little bit. And then sometimes from midnight until 2, at least that's what the schedule has been lately, you know, in the past. Now, tonight we are supposed to have a Rod Class call in, and he is to talk about the Republic form of government, and he is also the Republic form of government presidential candidate. And tonight he's going to call in to discuss the history of the 1933 bankruptcy, the Bar Association fraud, the Republic form of government, and his candidacy. Mr. Class has not called in yet, but he may have been delayed for coming into the show. Now, while we're waiting for Mr. Class to come in, I would like to give a little promotion for tomorrow night's show. And tomorrow night, we are going to have Chris on and Kelly, who are very knowledgeable about state sovereignty, and is going to be a part of a series that we'll be having here on Bard's Logic Political Talk, discussing the state's sovereignty versus the federal government in a lot of ways. There will be many topics in which that will discuss that will be discussed, and so that will be, as I said, a part of a continuing series on that issue. Now, as I said, we're still waiting for Mr. Class to come in. So at this time, I would like to also I'd like to thank Tim. You know who you are. I know you're out in the audience, for hooking myself and Rod up to have this conversation this evening. And we'll just wait for him to come in. But while we do so, I do have Chris, who will be on as well tomorrow night, talking about our state sovereignty show for tomorrow. And Chris, while we're waiting for Mr. Class to come in, I will open up your mic, and you can give us some updates on what you've got going on some of your pages if you'd like to do that. So Chris, thank you for calling in, and what's on your mind?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, good. Just waiting for our guest to come in this evening. And just earlier, I believe, this morning, I just gave him the call-in number. And we are in different time zones, so maybe that perhaps is what we are waiting on. Is perhaps he did, I sent it in an email to get the call-in number, but, however, you know, there's other modes to find the show with the phone number. So perhaps Mr. Class has just been held up for calling in. We shall see how that is. But, you know, we'll see how it rides out, and then we'll go from there. So is there anything that you'd like to talk about the show tomorrow with the state sovereignty that we're going to be covering?
First of all, it's really cool that you found this guy through Kim, and she's been trying to get me to listen to him for a while because she says, this guy, you got to listen to this guy, you got to listen to this guy, you know, because we're talking about, you know, state sovereignty, and I guess he's really big on this. I did not know he was presidential candidate. I thought he was, you know, he had his own organization, and he speaks all over the country, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't catch that until the last time he talked. So I that really fired me up, because anybody who's an expert on how this country was founded as a republic and that process that it went through and how we lost that, you know, through the years, you know, I want to listen to him, because I don't care who you vote for. You got to be concerned about the fact that you can be thrown into prison without a trial indefinitely, because we're in an indefinite war, and now American citizens can be labeled as a terrorist just because they have a conversation like you and I are having right now. So got to be a point in time where people go, hey, wait a second, something has grown beyond the original intent. And we need to find out, first of all, Kelly and I were on the phone after you and I talked. And, you know, and he's all excited. He's like a little kid. And it's really cool because he's just uncovering data left and right about the process, you know, the 13 colonies, and then 8 of the 13 had their own constitutions before the, you know, anything was talked about at the federal level. The states built the federal government. The states controlled the federal government. The states told the federal government what it could do and what it couldn't do. Doesn't that sound different than we have today?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I mean, it's huge. It's huge. But the thing is I guess the question we have to ask is when did it happen? Why did it happen? And how do we get it back? Now, do I believe we're going to go back to, you know, 1776? You know, I would like to because I, you know, I'm kind of a wilderness guy, you know. I mean, I lived in Alaska half my life. Stay the hell out of my life. So it's real easy for me to think, you know, you know what I'm saying? Let's take it back, dog, you know. Walk around with your gun and, you know, on your hand and take off into the wilderness, do what you want. But, you know, the world's not going to ever be like that again. And there has been transitional periods of time, and there have been, you know, amendments and this and that and the other. So, you know, things grow, things change, technology grows, technology changes. And, you know, you're going to get on the other side of this argument, you're going to get this mindset, well, yeah, but it's a living, breathing document, and yeah, but the world's changed, and look at technology, and we got 1,800 billion people in the world, and wars everywhere, and, you know, I mean, yeah, so the reason this country has survived as long as it has is because of that foundational principles and that Bill of Rights and that Constitution. The only reason this country is going to fall and become morphed into some socialistic oligarchy or a state of the UN is because people ignore that Constitution and Bill of Rights. And I guess if you're frustrated wherever you live in the world or in the country about federal government intrusion in your life in any way, can you imagine what it would be when it's the UN and we're just a state of the UN? I mean,
exactly.
People have got to learn.
The UN's no friend of the United States, that's for certain.
No. They have a totally different agenda, and we pay for them. That just blows me away. But anyway,
we're the largest contributor.
Yeah, and we're the army, and, you know, it's just stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I wonder about the human race, but you know, today I have a little more hope tonight than I did earlier when I was talking to you. But the thing that so fires me up is because I've always been excited about history and understanding who we are, where we come from, what are the transitional things we've gone through, what are the influences of the world, wars, technology, you know, religion, culture, you know, all those things that make us what we are. America is an incredible country, but I think so few people even understand the basic foundational principles and why the founders put this thing together, you know, that what they called the original intent, which is actually a book I've read, you know, and what they were trying to prevent, not so much what they were trying to build. I mean, it was really simple. They wanted freedom. Get England and the king off our back. We're doing well. A lot of people don't understand that the original colonies in this country were some of the most wealthy, highest lifestyles of anybody in the world. America was a rich land, farm, trade, and as a colony, they were doing pretty good. But they wanted freedom. And understanding that concept of freedom, because most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, you know, gave their sacred honor, their wealth, and their lives to secure this country. A lot of them really ended up in bad straits at the end of the wars. You know, so that we would have the ability today to even have this conversation. There's no country in the world like this, but here's the problem. People don't understand it. They don't understand where we came from, why it was built the way it was built, why the Constitution was built the way it was built. So that's what fires me up so much about, you know, what Kelly, you know, really Kelly's the lead on this. I'm just whatever, you know, I'm the go-to guy, do some research and throw my opinion in once in a while. You know, but I'm excited about this. We have other things we want to work on. Obviously, we've all talked about this. But anyway, that's tomorrow night we're going to start, and I really I'm fired up about his material, because he was like I say, he was like a little kid uncovering all these dates and components and factors, and these trend lines and these, you know, these paradigm shifts, you know, when they went from colonies to, you know, when the Constitution was ratified and all that stuff. And he's starting to piece it together and see this timeline, and his goal is to present it, you know, in a simple way, because Kelly's an engineer, so you know what that means in the way they deal with information. But his goal is to present it in a simple way that people can understand it. He wants to put together some timeline graphs so people can follow along. So I'm pretty fired up about it. I'm fired up to learn.
I've talked to a couple other folks, one of which is Arlen Williams from Gulag Bound, which is a blog that many people might know of.
Right.
Yes, he actually has been on the show before, but talking about Agenda 21. But I know he's definitely serious about the sovereignty issue. So I think that's something that, you know, he'll take interest in as well. And it wouldn't surprise me to hear him talking on the show at some point, too.
That'd be awesome. I mean, and no reason we can't all work together to learn together. I don't think anybody wants to pretend we're an expert. And I know Kelly's not like that, you know.
No.
And
well,
it would be awesome to link
logic,
people up.
You know, I mean, I don't claim to be an expert at everything, you know, but I do, you know a lot about a lot, you know, or at least a little about a lot of different things, you know, especially when it comes to politics.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, cool. Hey, go ahead and chat for a little bit. I've got to try to explain to somebody how to log into the chat on your show. So
sure,
I can't,
no problem.
I'm not real bright. I can't talk and type at the same time.
Oh, no, that's cool. Oh, you can multitask. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, but typing is different.
Indeed. Okay, well, yeah, thanks, Chris. And then we'll, you know, this is Wolf Kelly come in, and we're waiting for Rod to come back in. Hopefully everything is okay on his end. I do have his number, and perhaps at some point in the show, if he doesn't, as I said, maybe they get the time frame a little different. We are in different time zones, or something came up. I'm uncertain. This is kind of a first for me. I've never had a guest come in late. However, he never did give me a specific time he was coming in, but I presumed that he would come in, you know, right as the show was starting. So we will see how that is. And as I said, I just emailed him today, so we'll see how that works out.
What do you know? What do you know about him?
Well, I don't, you know, unfortunately, I don't know, you know, a lot. That's why I was really, you know, excited about having him come in. You know, I know that, you know, said one of the people who comes in, oh, he is on the East. Okay, someone just sent me a private message, and they let me know that he, too, is on the East Coast time zone. So perhaps something came up or something of that nature where we can get him. What I can do is I do have his number. If something came up, I do not want to interrupt him while, you know, if there's some kind of family emergency or something of that nature came up, and that's what is delaying him. So, you know, perhaps later we will, you know, I'll call him or what have you. We'll see, we'll see that. Well, he's just found out in private chat that he is from South Carolina. And I'm told that, yes, call or send an email. He is usually calls on time. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, while I'm getting ready to set that up, why don't I put on some music for you so we could see what's, going on. So I will play a song from Aubrey Ashburn, and you can listen to more of her music on www.aubreyashburn.com. So here is a example of her music. Thank you. Okay, folks, I'm just trying now to contact him with no avail. No one's answering the number. So I am uncertain. And Kim's answering in the chat. Kim, he has not answered and did not go to a voicemail as well. I know I emailed him the call-in number this afternoon, so whether he got that or not, maybe he thinks that there is a call ID number, much like there is on the, I guess, talk show that he's on,
right.
But we do not have that on Blog Talk. There's only a pin for the host. To call into, and not the general call-in number. So, folks, I do not know what is keeping Mr. Class. Through my understanding, what I'm told, he is generally on time. I guess this doesn't bode well for either of us. So, you know, if you're going to be, you know, having, but I've seen this happen before, not particularly on this show. As I said, it's the first time I've had someone be late on this show coming in. But I've seen it on others, and also there's a local radio show where I've seen that happen where they'll be like, oh, well, by the way, someone called and said that the person couldn't make it. Maybe it was traffic or something else happened. Hopefully nothing wrong happened with his family or anything of that nature. Or maybe there's just something that else has held them up or what have you. So we'll just, you know, go to the show with maybe a different route until we wait for the gentleman to call in. So, Chris, if there's anything else you'd like to chime in about while we wait to see if Mr. Class calls in. So, you got the mic. You have the floor.
I'm trying to do some research right now on him, and he's not easy to pull up information on the Internet. I know he has a talk show radio course, and he talks a lot about base constitutional, you know, individual sovereignty. You know, he does some legal counseling on how to handle the court systems, blah, blah, blah. But it's not real easy. You don't just go Rod Class, bam, here's a Wikipedia article like you do, you know, with some of the other people that we know. You know, I wish I could, because I could, you know, I could read to people and scan through documents and tell people what I'm learning for myself, but it's not really easy to get information on him. I do see video clips, you know, like Rod Class, 1 of 4 on Taking Back America Peacefully, learn, you know, he's, you know.
I thought about you said you do have some video clips. I'll check that out. I'll have to check that out at some point so I can make some audio from that, so. But
where did you find the video?
Is that just doing a Google search, or
does he
have a YouTube channel? Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Unfortunately, I've been in a meeting all weekend, so I haven't had much of an opportunity to do, to do as much of the research as I'd like. And I figured I could have, asked the questions and kind of did some research while I'm, you know, having the interview with them. You know what I mean? So
right. Well, here's some titles, like the Rod Class, the driver's license scam, part one, Rod Class. Judge ruling that cops are not public officials, Rod Class. The billion-dollar birth certificate, Rod Class. So, you know, he's got stuff out there.
Okay, I'll definitely check that out. But we do have a caller coming in. I don't believe it's him, but I believe it is someone who either knows him or knows of him. Or perhaps maybe he's calling in on a different call, but I believe this is Kim. So 602, is that Kim?
Yes, it's me.
Hi, Kim. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't understand. He did send me an email asking about the call-in number, which I did provide him earlier on today, which, you know, I thought would have been enough, you know, time. You know, it's been hours ago. I don't know. Well, tell us what could have been the, because there it is, the call-in number. Because he emailed me the other day about getting it, and I just had the opportunity to give it to him today, but that was, you know, quite some time ago, about half a day ago. So. But go ahead. I wish I knew more about Mr. Class, but this is, as I said, I was hoping to get that kind of knowledge, you know, directly from the source, which would have been him during the interview. So tell us what you got. Tell us what you know.
Well, he has been on Blog Talk before with Ghost Fighter Radio. That's where he knows me from. And and he's always on time. But there are times when Blog Talk...
That is a record which has now been broken, it looks like.
Yes, but there has been times when Blog Talk would give problems. Because sometimes the host would give him a different number to call on to get onto Blog Talk.
Well, there are two different numbers. There is the regular call-in number, and then there is there is the host call-in. Now, the host call-in is what I call into.
And then
there is a host pin that I use. But to just call into the show, there is no host pin or there's no pin number associated with that. And so if I was to give him the call-in number that I call in and the host pin, he would actually be able to manipulate the – I'm not saying he would, but it would give him the ability to, you know, manipulate the switchboard and the audios and things of that nature.
Exactly. But others have given him the other call-in number. But Rod Class has talked about the Constitution. There's the organic or the other Constitution. And you want to go by the organic Constitution, not what the government is using as we speak. And he goes in depth regarding that.
Wait. You, Kim, help
yes?
me. I'm slow. You know me. Organic versus the granite solid rock constitution? Wait, you lost me on that one.
There's two different constitutions. There's an organic constitution, the real one.
Right.
You know, the Constitution of the United States. And then there's the other one where they wiped out some of the Constitution, let's say the 13th Amendment and other parts of the Constitution and added their own.
So you're saying the organic one is the original proper one?
Yes.
Okay. And the thing they built and have basically abused is the one that they've created since whatever that time is.
Right. Exactly. And Rod talks about that. He also talks about state sovereignty and your sovereignty.
Yep, citizenship.
Right. And also to he talks about the
judicial system.
Yes.
Well, you told me the judicial system,
yes.
too.
He talks about that as well, and maritime stuff.
Oh, man,
well.
Maritime. You know what? People do not understand how much maritime law affects us as individual citizens. It was shocking when I started doing the research on this. Plus,
that might be a good topic to go ahead and just discuss now while we wait. You know, it's
well,
a shame. Hopefully,
I'm not a maritime, but I'm not a maritime law expert, so yeah.
Me neither.
That's what you know of it.
I just realized that the way that they get around our state, our individual citizenship sovereignty has to do with the way that they set up the maritime law. I mean, there's so much crap that we do not understand. I mean, and that's where I'm at this point in my life. I don't think I'm going to live long enough to learn everything I need to learn to see all the abuses that they have done to that initial original intent. It's just mind-boggling how much information's out there. The other thing that nobody knows, 1871, they turned the U.S. government into a corporation. You are now you're part of a corporation. That's another way they defeated your individual sovereignty. I watched a video on that. I watched a video on that one time, and I'm like going, what? I'm part of a corporation?
Yes, you are. And Rod Class talks about that the President of the United States is not supposed to go out of the 10-mile boundaries. There's boundary stones in Washington, D.C., in Virginia. They are not allowed to go and campaign. They have to stay at the White House.
Hmm.
Because they're two separate entities.
Mm.
He goes into detail. Oh, my God. It's mind-boggling and whew.
Well, tell me something. Is he an intellectual scholar that decided to run for president? I mean, what's his background?
I'm not sure what his background is. I found him through the Ghost Fighter Radio. He started out very small, talking on TalkShoe, and it's grown. And he teaches. He goes to each state to teach you. And if you have a terabyte, hard drive or anything, he'll download it, all this information for you. And he'll give you classes on it. On what to do in court.
Anybody know how this guy thinks he's going to become president? That's the part. I mean, somebody asked me. They go, "Is he in a party?" And I went, "I don't know."
Through my understanding, he has a new way of running for office, and that's what I would like to have heard. And and I hope he can come on still because it's a shame for him not to get the information on. I normally don't. I normally don't say anything about this, but the show's like on political conservatives on Blog Talk Radio. Hard Logic is the third most popular show on political conservative shows.
Cool.
Yeah, so the people who say that, what we're trying to get out to the folks, it's falling on deaf ears because, we don't have a following. You don't become the third, most popular show on political conservative show on Blog Talk Radio, and not have people interested in what you're putting out there. So,
right.
As I said, I normally don't even bring that stuff up. But if he's running for president, and he said it's some kind of write-in candidate, it's definitely something I want to talk to him about and get out to the folks, because it sounds like the way his approach is a lot different on how he's planning on running and. Something about the republic form of government. He didn't even really mention much of a party. And I was really intrigued, and I thought, man, that'd be great, for the audience to hear something different like that.
Sure.
But we'll see what happens. Hopefully, as I said, everything's okay, with him or what have you. But as I said, I tried calling him earlier on his personal phone, phone number I have that we've been corresponding with, and it didn't even go to an answering machine. It just went, just kept ringing. So, we'll see what develops. We'll go from there.
Everybody and their mother calls him, Robert. He gets calls daily. How can I go in front of a judge? How can I do this? I need help with this. Filing and everything. He does that as well.
I understand. I understand when someone's actually on another line that, you will not get into a person's voicemail. I mean, that happens with my daughter's mom. That happens when I try to call my daughter's mom and she's on the phone. It won't go to the voicemail because she's actually on the line. So, he could possibly be helping someone out. It's just, we'll see how things develop as the show moves on.
Yes, and it could be the wires got crossed somewhere, too.
There's so many possibilities. I'm not going to presume anything on what it is.
How about I read an article by my favorite guy?
I haven't written an article lately, Chris. I'm just joking, Chris.
That's all right.
Go ahead,
well,
Chris.
Well, this is Reuters, so they're, pretty reputable, whatever. I'm trying to see the date, September 9th. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who has called for scrapping President Obama's 2010 U.S. health care law, said in remarks aired on Sunday that he likes key parts of Obamacare despite his party's loathing of it and wants to retain them. Is anybody but me, was I only one that knew that's what he would do?
Oh, well, actually, we talked about that earlier. He did an
interview. Well,
remember, he did an interview shortly after the Supreme Court ruling came down about Romney Care. So we were talking about, how lackluster his response was. And I believe I still have a clip of that here somewhere in my my audio clips. And if I find that, since while we're waiting, I will play that. But here's a real short clip where someone asks if he would nationalize Romney Care. Now, you have to listen real carefully because it's kind of garbled. But here you go.
Healthcare in Massachusetts. Are you going to do the same thing on the national
level? Absolutely. I've already put a plan out. Take a look at it. Get on my website.
Did you hear that?
You bet.
Someone was asking him. Well, tell you what, while I'm looking for this clip, because I know I have it somewhere here, we do have someone who needs no introduction, and that is Samuel Samford, and he has his Blog Talk Radio show, which is also a part of the Patriots Journalist Network, which you can find a link to that by going to the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk and go to this show's website, and on the About the Show page, scroll at the bottom, and that will take you to a page that has all the different links to the different shows on the Patriot Journalist Network, which includes Samuel Samford's show. And go ahead and check it out. That's Eastern Time at 11 p.m., starting 11 p.m. So without further ado, I will bring in Sammy. Thank you very much, Sammy, for calling in.
Hey, Robert. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, we're doing all right. Sammy, we're doing all right. We're just waiting for our guest to call in, hoping that nothing ill has befallen him or his family or anything. I'm not saying that there is, but through my understanding, I'm told he is usually on time for things such as this. So I'm hoping everything's all right.
And I pray to God that his safety and his health are okay, too. And I will never speak badly. The one thing about what's going on out here right now, there are so many people that are mad as heck, and we have to get focused and don't worry about what other people do. Let them do that on their own. I mean, their constitutional right is to support Mitt Romney. That's their right. My right is to support any candidate that I want to, which will not be Mitt Romney or Barack Hussein Obama.
That's right, and that's why I'm having as many of the third party candidates as I can on the show, for they can tell what they're about, and get that information out to the folks so they can make a decision on who they're going to put their support behind. But Chris earlier mentioned something about what Romney said about Obamacare, and that there's some part. Was that you, Kim, or was that Chris who said that Romney said there's some parts about Obamacare that he liked? Which one was that?
Well, I was just reading the headline of an article,
Okay.
But we've all heard that before. He's never apologized for anything that went on in Massachusetts. He has stated this, a fact that his advisors went to the White House and counseled with Obama and his team to build Obamacare. He's never once, and it's amazing to me that nobody's ever able to go to Massachusetts like Fox News, a fair and balanced station, and actually go up there and show the facts of how much impact Romney Care has had on the state economy. It's all a lie. We knew it was from the beginning. The guy never once went, well, it was a mistake, and we got to get rid of it. He always protected it. It is his life. What do you call that? Crowning achievement.
Yeah.
He's not going to talk bad about it. He'll take the country down with him before he talks bad about it. Men have big egos, right, women? Right, Kim?
Yeah.
Kim, what?
She said yes. No, but here's one thing. Is that speaking of Romney Care, it's interesting that this subject comes up, because actually last night I did a rebroadcast, and Mrs. Fletcher, she is a president of the Fletcher Social Healthcare. You know, she has her own business where she does counseling for, you know, the elderly on, you know, on their health care. And she actually was speaking about Obama coming up, well, that too, but mainly Romney Care, and telling about the failures of Romney Care. And last night I did a rebroadcast of that interview. So if any of the folks would like to listen to that rebroadcast, you can easily find it. That was just last night. I did it, so it should be really, really quick to find that archive in the archive. That show in the archive. I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm reading something and talking at the same time. But anyway, so I found the clip that I want people to hear while we're waiting for Rod Fletcher to come in about Romney's response to the Obamacare decision.
As you might imagine, I disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, and I agree with the dissent. What the court did not do on its last day in session, I will do on my first day if elected President of the United States, and that is I will act to repeal Obamacare. Let's make clear that we understand what the court did and did not do. What the court did today was say that Obamacare does not violate the Constitution. What they did not do was say that Obamacare is good law or that it's good policy. Obamacare was bad policy yesterday, it's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday, it's bad law today. Let me tell you why I say that. Obamacare raises taxes on the American people by approximately $500 billion. Obamacare cuts Medicare by approximately $500 billion. And even with those cuts and tax increases, Obamacare adds trillions to our deficits and to our national debt, and pushes those obligations on to coming generations. Obamacare also means that for up to 20 million Americans, they will lose the insurance they currently have, the insurance that they like and they want to keep. Obamacare is a job killer. Businesses across the country have been asked what the impact is of Obamacare. Three-quarters of those surveyed by the Chamber of Commerce said Obamacare makes it less likely for them to hire people. And perhaps most troubling of all, Obamacare puts the federal government between you and your doctor. For all those reasons, it's important for us to repeal and replace Obamacare. What are some of the things that we'll keep in place and must be in place in a reform, a real reform of our healthcare system? One, we have to make sure that people who want to keep their current insurance will be able to do so. Having 20 million people, up to that number of people, lose the insurance they want is simply unacceptable. Number two, got to make sure that those people who have pre-existing conditions know that they will be able to be insured and they will not lose their insurance. We also have to assure that we do our very best to help each state in their effort to assure that every American has access to affordable health care. And something that Obamacare does not do that must be done in real reform is helping lower the cost of health care and health insurance. It's becoming prohibitively expensive. And so this is now a time for the American people to make a choice. You can choose whether you want to have a larger and larger government, more and more intrusive in your life, separating you and your doctor, whether you're comfortable with more deficits, higher debt that we pass on to the coming generations, whether you're willing to have the government put in place a plan that potentially causes you to lose the insurance that you like, or whether instead you want to return to a time when the American people will have their own choice in health care, where consumers will be able to make their choices as to what kind of health insurance they want. This is a time of choice for the American people. Our mission is clear. If we want to get rid of Obamacare, we're going to have to replace President Obama. My mission is to make sure we do exactly that, that we return to the American people the privilege they've always had to live their lives in the way they feel most appropriate, where we don't pass on to coming generations massive deficits and debt, where we don't have a setting where jobs are lost If we want good jobs and a bright economic future for ourselves and for our kids, we must replace Obamacare. That is my mission, that is our work, and I'm asking the people of America to join me. If you don't want the course that President Obama has put us on, if you want instead a course that the founders envisioned, then join me in this effort. Help us. Help us defeat Obamacare. Help us defeat the liberal agenda that makes government too big, too intrusive, and that's killing jobs across this great country. Thank you so much.
I am so – you know what? That's the longest I've ever listened to that guy speak, and my head hurts. Did he say anything? It's not like he went around and around and around in circles. I still can't figure out what is your plan. What are you going to do? How are you going to ensure that everybody's insured inexpensively and yet maintain pre-existing conditions? That right there, no matter what you say, no matter how good of a liar you are as a politician, I'm not just talking about Romney, I'm talking about any of them. When you say that and you enact that clause, insurance goes up and stays up. Now, if you got some kind of magical way of bringing that back down to reality without some kind of tax or, you know, magical we're going to produce money out of seawater, there's no plan there. You know, it's smoke and mirrors. I'm sorry. You know, and maybe that's what we need. You know, are you going to vote for smoke and mirrors? And I bet you he's never read a book on the Founding Fathers. I'm sorry. You know, whatever.
Amen, Chris.
I'm sorry, Robert.
What?
You forced me to listen to more length of time than I think I've listened to in the whole time.
Oh no, that's quite right. Now, actually, you said a lot of things that I've said about it. Is, you know, look, what did he really say? He didn't say anything. Did he say what he would do other than what Obama's done?
You know what he said? Vote for me, and when I get there, I will reveal myself to you.
There's a gentleman in the chat.
Might be a Pelosi.
It's a gentleman. It says, real quick, Chris, it says Censored Ridger is from the chat, and thank you for your participation, and thank you for coming to the
show.
Ridge. And if you like the show, you like what you hear, even though our guest hasn't called in yet, please feel free to follow the show, which is real easy. Just go under the icon of the show and see that little little button that says follow under. Just click that, and, you know, I guess they'll ask a few questions, and then you'll be able to follow the show, which would be great, and I appreciate it. I just want to read what he's got here. It says, this Mitt campaign stump speech doesn't address the issue. We all know the people who had purchased insurance isn't the problem. It is those who expect government to provide that. And then also, since insurance has gone up because those who use it and have taxpayers to pay for it, how many medical field workers have gone out of business already?
Yeah. You know, the thing that people don't understand about insurance, and what he's saying is very true, because anybody who deals with a full care handicap person in their life that deals with Medicaid or Medicare, you know that those doctors are making pennies on the dollar on that person, you know, when you go into that appointment. And people understand that when you have the numbers of people we have that are falling into poverty class that are tapping that system, the numbers of people we have that are reaching elderly ages that fall into that system that don't have, you know, that qualify. So when you crush that system and the government pays 10 cents on the dollar for that person to show up at your hospital versus what I have to pay through insurance has to make that difference up because the government refuses to pay. And this is maybe a little bit conspiratorial, but you don't get to a single payer system helping insurance and medical costs get better. You get to a single payer system and you get to socialism by crashing the system and then handing everybody a solution and controlling it. That's how you get to a single payer system. This whole Obamacare thing, it is amazing to me how much energy has been spent on this. and how much time they spent on it. But if you read the document, 90% of the document has nothing to do with insurance. It just has to do with federal government invasion into our lives, including just controlling everything. And people don't understand that it wasn't all really about insurance, because their ultimate goal is just to crash the damn system and go single payer. That's always been their goal. Come on, Hillary care. You know, everybody gets focused on the tree, and they miss the forest. They miss the strategy of the liberals on the left, just like they focus on the tree and they miss the strategy of Mr. Romney on the right and Mr. Karl Rove, the kingmaker, or the architect. I think I'll have a new name, the kingmaker. You know, all these guys want this system to crash so they can rebuild it in their image or what they think the future is going to hold. They think the rest of us are archaic, clinging to our guns and our religion and this age-old document that belongs in a museum. You know, that's really the battle. It doesn't get much more complicated than that. You can argue issue per issue until we're blue in the face, but that's really the game, you know.
What? Hey, Chris and mm-hmm. Robert, I want to let you know, yes, I do cling to my God and guns, but that is not my main issue right now. My main issue is saving our republic. And if we want to cling to our God and guns, we're going to lose it. Plain and simple.
Yep. Well, there's a second, and this, nobody talks about this, not to take this down a dark, dark, gloomy pathway, but there's a second coming. Very good. Good one, Chris. There's a second correction coming. You know, Obama and Bernanke have kept the interest rates at zip while they're lending and printing money like crazy. You haven't seen anything yet. Inflation hasn't even kicked in, and everything you buy is 20% higher already. It's got an artificial lid on it. You know, I've never
yep.
seen it done like this before, but it is a pretty slick move that Obama's done. They keep, you know, the bailout, QE1, you know, TARP bailout, QE1, 2, 3, 4, what are we on, 12 or something like that? You know, it's all fake. And, you know, Ron Paul's the only guy, and Newt talks about it, but Ron Paul really gets into it. But, you know, there's a correction coming. I don't mean to scare the hell out of you, but what's the price of gas? Has anything changed? No. It's still, in my area, it's almost $4 a gallon. You know, I go down to the store, I go to the lumber store, I go to Home Depot, you know, as a contractor, and I walk down the aisles. You know, I don't shop for the food stuff, but I'm in Home Depot. I know every product on every aisle as a contractor. And we were out doing a small project, you know, a week or so ago, my son and I, and I'm walking down the aisle going, holy crap, look at the price of screws. Everything across the board, it was blip 20%, just like that. And it ain't even hit. This correction has not hit. Whoever reaches into that Pandora's box in the next season, you know, whoever gets elected, and unties that fine thread holding this pressure cooker down, that correction is going to come on their watch. And I've talked to people, and you know, I follow some economics and futurists and people who do predictions and stuff. And, you know, so I'm kind of wondering why the Republicans are in such a big hurry to get a hold of that mess, because if it implodes on them while they have control of the House, Senate, and the presidency, then the Democrats will use it to take over. We have how many seats coming up in 2 years? It's a big replacement coming up, right?
Well, I agree with
well,
you.
Well, maybe that's why
you know?
maybe that's why they pushed Romney, because they know Romney's going to lose.
Well, and that's hard for me. It's hard for me to add that as a factual. You know what I mean? I've heard that, and I could believe it, but I haven't seen that component clear enough to say, oh, it's guaranteed. I just don't know that, Robert.
But I do know there's a correction coming. But you
ahead,
know,
Tammy.
You cannot print money to buy your debt, and that's
no,
what
it's insane.
That's what the quantum easing is doing.
Yeah. They're buying our own debt. I mean, it's insane. It's bad enough they printed $800 billion with the bailout. That is an automatic inflation. You know, if you take $800 billion and you flush it in the system, you're going to have, you know, that's why we see about, you know, 15-20% change in pricing and everything right now. Well, that QE stuff where they're printing fake money to buy a fake debt. I mean, I mean, do you just kind of, you know, wrap your brain around that concept? Where is that correction going to come from? What are we producing in our economy? Our debt is as big as our economy. We are no longer at a point where.
I've got an article or some kind of article or something that Rod Class sent to me, and I'm gonna read it because I think it might have something to do with what we're talking about. And if it doesn't, fine. If not, you know, I mean, if it doesn't. That's fine, but
we're going to have fun no matter what, Robert.
Yeah. Well, here we go. It's it looks like an interesting enough document. So let me check a few things here. And it is what it is. It is the Treasury Department Office of the Secretary, Washington, December 16, 1916. Says the Speaker of the House of Representatives, sir, in the Legislative, Executive, and Judicial Appropriation Act approved May 10, 1916, it is provided that the Secretary of Treasury is authorized and directed to report to Congress at the beginning of its next session which of the sub-treasuries, if any, should be continued after the end of the fiscal year 1917. And if, in his opinion, any should be continued, the reason in full for such continuance, also if any or all said sub-treasuries may be discontinued, what legislation will he necessary in order will be necessary in order to transfer their duties and duties and functions to some other branch of the public service or to the Federal Reserve Bank. In accordance with the above authorization and direction, I have the honor to report as the follows. And it's just blah, 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 blah. And then I'll scroll down. I'll get to the point where it said. Might not be interesting. It says, it has always been deemed advisable to deposit the gold reserve and trust funds of the government in several places rather than concentrate them in one, for reasons of security as well as public convenience. The Federal Reserve Act does not expressly or by implication contemplate the substitution of the Federal Reserve Banks for the sub-treasuries, nor would it, in my opinion, be possible or advisable, if possible, to attempt such a substitution. While the general or current fund of the Treasury may, in the discretion of the Secretary, be deposited in the Federal Reserve Bank, the reserve and trust funds of the government, viz., gold coins and bullion and silver dollars held in trust by the government against outstanding gold and silver certificates and greenbacks are not included in this authorization. And I just continue. I mean, I don't know if there's any, if that has any.
I don't know, it's hard to read. You were reading kind of a legal document, and that's always hard to follow when somebody's reading it.
Right.
I went mushy on you. I'm sorry. Here. Give her hell, Sammy.
I mean, how in the hell can we give banks that are a private corporation to manage our money, and they buy U.S. bonds by printing money? Why can't we allow this? This kind of crap has to stop.
You know what the problem is? You know what? You know why they're afraid to do anything about it? Because it's Pandora's box. It's all fake. You know, here, let me give you a little basic economic lesson to help people understand how ridiculous just the basic banking system in this country is. Years ago, in my youth, a bank would somebody walk into a bank and, you know, deposit $100. The bank had the legal right, and this is part of why they took the gold off the gold standard, because they could create funny money. The bank then, by laws of the government, could actually multiply that times 7 and then lend it out. Now, if you took the $100 out and spent it, which most people do on their account, the bank just made a $700 acquisition on something that is no longer there and lend it out to people with risk. That's how insane the system is on a small scale. Now let's zip forward a few years. Years ago, the Glass-Steagall Act And this is something that most Republicans don't want to admit or understand. But a lot of the reasons that all these investments went hog-ass wild here recently, we've been chipping away at the Glass-Steagall Act for many, many years. The Glass-Steagall Act was enacted after the Great Depression. The reason they did it was what led up to the Great Depression was banks were playing with too much risk. They were investing all over the world. They were supposed to be a bank, which means, you know, deposit money and lend to people. You know, other people live the risk. Financial institutes and stock markets and people who played those games, those were all different types of financial institutes. Well, right before the Great Depression, everybody was spread all over the world, super thin, and then they had a hiccup in the world market, and we had the Great Depression. So they enacted the Glass-Steagall Act, which put regulations on banks to keep them from playing in the risk market, in the high-risk markets, and causing another Great Depression. Well, along goes the Glass-Steagall Act through many generations of crooked politicians that have lobbyists whispering in their ears, and they gradually chipped away at the Glass-Steagall Act until we had financial institutes playing games in risky markets again. And so it crashes again. And if you ever want to go to an incredible educational piece on this, you go to LaRoche Pack, and I'll dig up the URL. And he explains the whole cause of the Great Depression, the whole reason for Glass-Steagall, and the whole reason Glass-Steagall was chipped away at until finally the Republicans took the last bonds off, or constraints off of it right before the crash. And we had it was almost a mirror image of what happened in the Great Depression. Every time we have a hiccup in this economy, all right, every 10 years, it's really funny how that works. About every 10 years, we have a major hiccup. There's always a law that's changed and a bank involved. And when we're done, 20% of the value of our money, minimum, 30% on the outside, you know, let's say 15 to 30% of the value of everything we have goes in the toilet. There has to be a point in time with all these intellectual people that you go either they're really stupid or they're planning this. And I'll let your conspiratorial mind figure out which one you want to believe.
Amen, Chris. And
we got any other killer, Sammy? Go ahead. If you'd like to chime in, go ahead.
Well, here, right now, both my parents grew up during the Great Depression. My mom was born in 1927. My father was born in 1923. And right now, we are in a Great Depression. I don't care what people are trying to tell you. The economy's getting better. That's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, it's artificially being held back.
And I mean, and what Chris is telling you, you better listen, because the two parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, they are one and the same. They are sleeping in the same bed, and if you want to kowtow to them, that's your issue. But I will not. I will not cave in. I will not back down. And I know Robert will not back down, and I know Chris will not back down. And, I mean, I'm sorry. We are in a desperate state of mode, and we do not need Mitt Romney, and we do not need Barack Obama. Plain and simple. They are one in the same. As you heard Robert play a little clip earlier, they agree so much, and it blows me away that we have idiots out here that would even tell us that we have to support Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. Wake up, America.
Yeah, with that, go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm going to post a link called The Takedown of Glass-Steagall that and then it takes you to the LaRoche pack, and then you can watch a bunch of videos in there. It goes through a whole bunch of stuff. You know, educate yourself. You know, I guess that's kind of how, you know, we were having this, you and I were having a conversation on the phone today. You know, I love to learn, but I'll tell you what, I'm on a learning curve. I never have been in my life because I'm not, and you know me, I always say I don't live in fear, but I'm scared to death of what these guys are doing in my country, you know?
Amen,
And this thing about, you know, the battle right now over the conversation. I'm sorry, Robert, go ahead and say your thing. I'll come back. I'm sorry.
I was just going to play a clip about, since, you know, tomorrow night we're going to be talking about states' rights. So I've going through my audio clips here while I look at some other things, is we talk about state sovereignty, and I have a little clip here that I was going to play as kind of a segue for tomorrow night to give people kind of a flavor for at least in part what we're going to be talking about. So if the folks don't mind, it's only about 2.5 minutes, so I'm going to be playing that now.
When it comes to liberal foolishness, there's a time to debate, a time to fight, and a time to just laugh at them. Hunter Spanier is a 3-year-old preschooler in Nebraska who is apparently a danger to the community. The little guy is deaf and uses sign language to communicate, and the sign for his name, Hunter, involves pointing his little finger like a gun. School officials, believe it or not, say that violates their policy against weapons in school. Patty gets on me for calling people idiots. So we're going to skip that part and talk about how this is a symptom of a terminally bad school system. Now, what's really scary is that because we've allowed the federal government to seize control of all public schools, this kind of nonsense is happening nationwide. What kind of teachers are afraid of a 3-year-old deaf kid? Now, if we care about our kids, then we have got to strip our schools out of the control of the feds. The way the system is now, there's so much red tape, it is impossible to get rid of bad teachers, and they quite often just flat disregard parental concerns. Not acceptable. Now, this is where states' rights come in. The U.S. Constitution does not permit the feds to get involved in public education. But, hey, don't let the law get in the way of the liberal agenda. No, wait, I have a better idea. Let's let the law get in their way. The Constitution is supposed to be a leash around the necks of power-hungry government. Each of our 50 states needs to seize control of education in their states. The federal monopoly has got to go. And if they want to fight about it, then they'll have to explain the lousy education they've been giving our kids. The liberal agenda in America is to pull America down in the name of fairness. To the liberal mind, it's not fair that the United States is so much more prosperous than other nations, or that our military is much stronger than others, or that American children used to get a better education than other countries. The liberal agenda is to pull these things down and force America into mediocrity. And that, my friends, is a crime against our children. Well, here's a Wild Bill bullet of truth for American education. Children should be protected from idiots, not taught by them. Don't tell Patty I said that. This is Wild Bill for America. Thank you for watching, and God bless America again.
Amen, Wild Bill.
I gotta say something. This is an educational moment. I mean, it's a great point he makes. I don't want to take anything away from him. He's a great guy. I listen to his stuff. Up until he told us to support Romney, anyway.
Exactly.
That I quit listening after that. But let me explain something to you. Liberal agenda. Who enacted No Child Left Behind and quadrupled the size of the Department of Education at the federal government level? Can anybody
George
out there,
Bush.
Children? Yeah, a Republican.
George Bush.
Yeah, I've said this whole primary, and it was my own. How do you explain this? My own point of wake up call. Yeah, actually, I think the biggest point of wake up call that I need to start investigating and looking at my own party was when they enacted the Patriot Act. You know, I just went, oh, we're screwed. You know, we are screwed. That is just the doorway to the end of our freedoms. But, you know, I had to make that revelation for myself. I had to wake up one day and go, you know, I'll tell you a little story that'll help you understand this. Unfortunately or fortunately, a good portion of my life, I've lived in capital cities. So when you live in a capital city, you're surrounded by what? Liberals, right?
Politics.
You know. Yeah, but liberals. A lot of liberals in the capital city. And I remember when I moved to Olympia a few years later, I remember getting in conversations with my Democrat and liberal friends, and they would hit me with all this, well, Bush did this, Bush did that, Bush did this, Bush did that. Well, I'm an avid Republican, and I listen to Rush Limbaugh and Michael Medved, and you know, got to defend my Republican base. I don't know if I woke up one day and said, wait a second, let's take a look at what I'm defending. You know, let's take a look at the debt ceiling. We're still in two wars 10 years later doing what? I'm not quite sure what we're doing there yet. Paving roads, but I can't get my road paved. You know, taking care of other people, but our senior citizens are at risk for not being taken care of. Watching percentages of my son's disability services go downhill while I'm taking care of people in other countries. You know what I mean? You start asking some questions after a while. And this primary, it really hit me like a rock that, and maybe it was because I was doing more research, but I'm going, this us against them narrative, people have got to unplug, as Rex says, unplug from the programming machine and start researching. Blog Talk Radio, good Facebook sites. I'm not talking about the ones where they gossip about people all day long. I'm talking about ones where people actually do things and research and work and communicate and bring people in and open their doors to people of different mindsets and learn, because that's what I'm doing. I'm standing here going, I can't believe how little I understood about my own country, even though I always thought I did. And I definitely couldn't, I can't believe how little I understand about my party and what they really stand for. Not what they tell people they stand for so they can get your vote and money, but, I mean, action speaks louder than words. Did anybody just see what happened? It's almost like a living nightmare, you know?
Oh, exactly.
And I'm in shock some days. Some days I'm, like, mad. Some days I'm like, wow, you know, but I'm in shock. I'm going, like, does anybody see this by me? I'm like the kid that, you know, tells everybody the king has no clothes, you know. And I know a few of us do, but it's like not enough. Not enough. How many of us even understood how many parties there were available to vote for in this country before a couple of weeks ago? I didn't. You know, you heard about the Green Party, you know, and Communist Party and the Socialist Party, but you never heard about real conservatives out there fighting for the Constitution and our republic, as you know. I never knew about any of this stuff. I uncovered a can of worms. And you know what, this is something both Sammy and Robert, we've all talked about. This is what really showed me that it was a freak-out zone for the powers that be, is how much attack we've been under over having a discussion about the parties in our country. Nobody wants you to know that there are actually other options out there. Nobody wants you. I swear to God on a Bible, they would rather have you suppress your vote and not voting than to log numbers for a third-party option. I swear I would put money on the table for that. Because if Obama loses 30% and Romney loses 30% by destroying their base, the number's still equal. It takes 50+1 to win. Game is still on. But if 15-20% of each one of those groups and the independents get up and go, screw you, I'm actually going to go out instead of staying home and protesting by doing nothing, which nobody pays attention to, I'm going to actually go find me a candidate, and I'm going to vote my conscience, and I'm going to support somebody. I'm going to do some research and find a candidate. Have we found a perfect candidate? No, sorry, folks, haven't. Will everybody agree on the one candidate? No, I'm at a war all day long, 24/7 on my group in the vetting process. Nobody's going to agree on any one candidate.
Let me interject real quick and then go ahead, Sam.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. The folks are going to have to agree on somebody soon, because there's going to come a time where we're going to have to come together, because if we don't, then we are just guaranteeing a win for either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama.
Yep.
I want to say this. Thank you, listeners out there. I am number two on Blog Talk Conservative. Robert is number three today. That is awesome. I'm not sure if you checked it today, Robert, but we
I did actually. I checked it today. What it tells me is that, you know, what we're getting out there, Sammy, what, you know, myself, you, Chris, Kelly, you know, all the other people calling in, people participating in the chat, is that, you know, what we're offering to people, not to talk about all the people, not just the host, is resonating with a lot of people because, you know, there really is, I believe, a movement starting out there. And I think, you know, as I said, that's, you know, a part of, that's,
well,
you know, a sign of why that is.
Well, I mean, and I'll tell you right now, they're attacking Chris, they're attacking you, and they're attacking me because we will not kowtow to the Republican Party and support their nominee. And I am not going to shut up about it. I will not back down. I will not put my nose on a liberal and follow him because I think he is better than Barack Obama. Mitt Romney is not a dime's worth of difference between two idiots. And I will tell you that flat out, plain and simple. But, Robert, I'm going to hop off here and get ready for my show. God bless you, brother. You're an eloquent host.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in, Sammy. Appreciate it.
And
you will be on
at
11 o'clock Eastern
at 11
time
o'clock.
Tonight in about 38 minutes.
And if you don't mind, I will post the link in your chat.
No, feel free to. Go ahead.
Okay. And we're not shutting up and we're not backing down. And for you libtards out there, you need to wake up, whether you're supporting Mitt Romney, which is a Massachusetts liberal, or you're supporting Barack Obama. As Judge Napolitano said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two. So wake up, speak out, and the main thing I want to say, though, is us as conservatives, whether you're Newt supporters or former Newt supporters and you're supporting Mitt Romney, we need to lay off the attacks because it's bringing us all down. Plain and simple. Back off the attacks. And let you support your candidate. And as Chris and I talked today on telephone, if you support Mitt Romney, go to the top of your mountain and shout it out loud as hell. If you support Gary Johnson, shout it out. Or whoever you support. I am not supporting anybody right now. I mean, I could even write Mickey Mouse on our ballot here in November. But right now, we got to stop the personal attacks and chill out. I mean, if you're still a Newt supporter, yes, I think it's 37 states, right, Robert? Where you can write it.
You know, I do have a let me pull that up, Sammy. Unless Chris, you know off the top of your head, but I can
I have to pull it up. I'm not that smart. I can't remember everything.
Okay, I'll pull it up. Let me it'll take me a few moments.
I'll go for my map while you're doing this. I heard you typing.
I'll type it in private chat.
but people, vote your conscience. I mean, if you're a Barack Obama supporter, God be with you. You won't be my friend. But we have to get rid of the idiots. We cannot back down. We cannot kowtow to these idiots. And I'm sorry. I mean, they're attacking me. They're attacking Chris. They're attacking you. Because they're so afraid of us. And the different groups on Facebook, please, people, wake up and stop attacking. You support your candidate. And this kind of crap has to stop. And Robert, well, God bless you and God bless Chris. And we love you, brothers.
You too, Sammy. Take care. And
you got them.
After here, I'm going to have to get some dinner to eat, and then I'll probably be on it later on. You're going to go from to 1 or 2 o'clock tonight?
It will depend on how active the show is.
No, I understand and how you're feeling. Sure, I understand that.
No, tonight, Sunday night is the busiest night for Blog Talk Radio, at least for me.
Yeah, I get, you know, it varies. Mine varies. It just depends. So actually, I get a lot of archive. I mean, live is good as well, but I mean, I really get a lot of the archived ones percentage wise.
But you know what brought my thing up to number 2 was the interview with Newt, and that was awesome. And right now, you're number 3. I'm concerned with the Talk Radio, and we are rocking them, and they are scared as hell.
Yeah, well, they definitely wouldn't be paying as much attention to us, as they are if we weren't, making an impact, and so they want to try to shut us up, but that's not going to happen.
Yep, amen, brother. And we'll be back on in just a few minutes.
All right,
and I will post the link to my show. Thank you for what you're doing, Robert. You're awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, Sammy. Thank you. You too, buddy. Take care. I'm looking for the map. I've got so many,
Well, I have one open, but it doesn't make sense because there's write-in specific, and then there's candidate must file, and I don't know if that candidate must file is also included as a write-in, but you have to file before
the candidate
you can
the candidate must file as a write-in. The candidate must file as a write-in.
Oh, okay. Well, heck, I mean, it wasn't clear on that, so I was actually online looking at some other things. So,
no problem.
Write-in. The only places write-in not allowed is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 states, and then there's variables. There's the full write-in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then there's the candidate must file, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, whatever. Right. So I'm looking. I'm doing more research.
Now, do you have, is that a link you have that maybe you could supply for the chat?
No, this is a PDF that I pulled from. Well, it's a picture, but it's not clear enough. It doesn't define that clearly what that means. So I'm actually found a site, just pulled on it when you tagged me. And it has U.S. presidential write-in candidate requirements for each state. That's really cool.
Okay.
And then you go Alabama, Alaska, da 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 da. But I also do
really
believe this
that?
Is for two. Yeah.
just interjecting a little humor.
This is 2008, unfortunately. So even though it's a really well done, you can't trust it. Because there's different. My son was actually talking about, I guess he was listening to the tail end of Rex and Tex and Rex last night, and I was over on Mark's show,
and he came over and said that, you know, you really got to do your research because there's a lot of variables in each state around the rules of write-in, if they do it at all. So you have to know what those rules are, and it's just like our whole primary system, trying to learn that. What a nightmare. Every state is flipping different. Heck, it's even different in the counties than it is in the state.
And sometimes I wonder if they do that so it leaves it more open to corruption. I really do, you know, to have it different like that to try to confuse people. I mean, heck, that's probably why I think some of the tax laws are the way they are.
Yeah, it's insane. All right, let's see, 2012, state certifications, write-in candidate for the Yeah, there's some research I need to do on this, no doubt about it. You know, I don't want to throw anything out there that is, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of partial.
Sure.
I don't want to confuse anybody on this. So let's put it this way. There are write-ins, but you need to know what you're doing if that's what your choice is going to be. Because really, you know, I don't know about all these fringe parties. I don't know what happened to your buddy tonight. I know he does. I've heard great things about his talks, you know, and his stuff to do with state sovereignty and things like that, and I love
right.
that.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah, I was really looking forward to the show. Yeah, as I said, I mean, I hope he's okay. You know, I don't understand what happened. Maybe, you know, we'll see in time.
Yeah,
time
always
what happened. Well, I know he emailed me today for the call-in number, and that was about 7 hours ago, and I replied, gave him the call-in number and the link to the show, to tonight's show, and I have not heard from him since. And as I said, that was about 6 hours or 7 hours ago, rather, now. And so I hope he's okay. Hopefully, you know, nothing untoward has happened to cause him to have not been able to show up.
I put that post, that link to the the cause of the Great Depression from LaRoche-Pack. This guy is a pretty interesting guy, and he's got a beautiful website, lots of videos, very involved. The guy's like 90 years old. You know, he's seen some life in history. He's got some strong opinions about economy, politics, the world. Just some great stuff on there, you know, and just
yeah,
like anything.
I looked at Rod Class's YouTube, you know, and it looks like he's got some pretty good stuff. I mean, I guess I could play a clip and put the mic up to the, you know, to the speaker, but you know, these are some decent sized clips, and if I would have had the time, I would have made some audio clips out of these, and I would have just played these tonight. However, that just wasn't, you know, feasible for me. As I said, I was in meetings all weekend this week, weekend. So,
you know, I wanted to add a thing that we're at, and I actually have a couple guys, I know I talked to you briefly about it, but we're into the Virgil Good, just starting to break the ice on the Virgil Good vetting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guy, you know, of course,
that's,
you know,
the Constitution Party, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's fiscally conservative and socially conservative. I couldn't talk there for a minute. But he's also pretty tough on some of the more what I would call the Paul issues. You know, these and we're still researching, so I don't want anybody quote me on this stuff. But he's got,
sure,
you know, he's got experience in the government. He's been able to hold, you know, go through his processes in the legislation and come out and maintain, from what I just brief stuff, from what I understand, that he's been able to walk away and still have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after his tenure in government.
Is Virgil Good?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, like I say, I don't know a lot. I know on my group site, I have under the file section, I have a document. And under each one of those documents, anytime anybody brings an article or a video or whatever, you know, I just automatically, I try to get it into that person's document. So it's all consolidated in one place. And I guess what I want to do, and it was really a journey for myself, was it's the same thing I did when I vetted Newt. Before I backed Newt, I mean, I vetted him back to before he was born. you know, because I wanted to know who the guy was. I didn't want to back, I was hearing some bad crap about him, and I didn't want to back another goofball, you know, and so I started researching him. The more I researched him, the more I liked him. Did I see things I didn't like? Yes. Did I see policies I didn't agree with? Yes. Did he have lapses in sanity in his tenure in government? Yeah, he did. You know, he made some things he had to turn around and change his opinion on. There's nobody's perfect, and what I'm looking for myself is I just want to learn about these guys. You know, things that are important to me in a vetting process. You know, do they have moral character? Yes. For me as a Christian. Christian background, important. You bet it is. Do I want to be a pastor? Nope. Not trying to hire a pastor for my church. I'm trying to hire the commander-in-chief. Military experience, it would help, but after what I've seen in the last 10 years, 15 years in this country, and what's going on overseas and all of our wars and endless wars, I'm starting to question that one. But you know what I mean. But other things that are important to me is, what's their damn record? It's amazing how many people will hear a couple clips and they'll talk about something that they, you know, hits their hot button, and they'll just swoon over the person. Oh my God, did you hear him speak? He's wonderful. And I'm like going, yeah, what's his record? You know, like kind of like we've been beating Romney up on for the last year. What's his record? Is, you know, what he's done in the past helps dictate what you're going to do with my country in the future. So I'm really concerned about that they actually have a governing record or serious business background. You know, what else is important to me? Their platform, yeah, but you know what? Robert, you and I get together to write the most beautiful, eloquent platform, you know, in a couple hours. Platform doesn't define what somebody's going to do. Look at the Republican Party. They've lied tooth and nail for the last 15 years. Against our platform, the party of God, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, and the letter, and the rule of law. Now, I'd say there was some serious abuse there. Your platform doesn't hold you accountable. It's a combination between your platform, your claimed beliefs, and your record. That's the only way we really know who that person or can really weigh that person out. So I encourage people to get past the speech that fired you up, because that speech ain't going to govern your country if they win. You know, it's a combination of things. And here's something else that was really important. And actually, there's a gentleman, a newer guy on my group that's a vice chair of a state for the party. So he's up there, great guy, very very sharp. I think he'll be a great add-on to the whole state sovereignty issue based on the information that he's posted on in some conversations. But, you know, he said, you know, another thing that's really important, who they bring in with them. Because, you know, you don't have a single authority sitting in that chair. Like, I'm sure Romney was that way, wasn't he? Sole owner and CEO and controller of everything, even though he claimed
he
wasn't
there.
Yeah, he was
pretty much everything, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that is not the president of the United States. Don't kid yourself. The president of the United States is the cabinet behind them and their advisors. I mean, how much have we beaten up on Obama for the last 3.5 years over the people he has wrapped around him?
The
you gotta kind of open your mind up here past the person and think about who are their key players. One thing we knew about Newt, and I'm sure Paul had his people, but one thing we knew about Newt is we knew who he respected and who he was going to bring with him, if you did the research you did anyway. But those kind of things are important. And another thing that's extremely important is, I don't know how to say this in a way that helps people see it without getting mad at me. But, you know, just because you can quote the Constitution doesn't mean you're going to rule the country well. I can quote the Constitution. You know, and the same thing goes for the Bible. I can quote a lot of quotes out of the Bible. Doesn't make me a good preacher. You know, it's that combination of things that you have to look at. Are there going to be things that you wrinkle your nose at with all candidates? All of them, across the board. You know, I don't care if it's Johnson. He's got, you know, some social issues that drive Christians nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to bring him up. I mean, what about his what about the record? You know, cause you mentioned record earlier.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, obviously he's been a governor, which we typically not always elect to run our country, because running a state is like running the country. You're dealing with opposing parties. You're dealing with all the politics, and do you get things done in that process? You know, it really
a governing record is an executive too, because of the head of the National Guard, their state National Guard.
Well, think about it. Some of our governors in today's world are running states bigger than our country was 100 years ago. Come on.
Well,
you know?
And also there's actually governors, you're right, and there's also governors who run states that are bigger than some countries of other nations.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Texas. Texas is bigger than, you know, take Texas and compare it to, you know, something maybe like, you know, I wouldn't go as far as say England, but, you know, or the UK, but...
Well,
you know what I mean.
and also what you can do is you can, you
but
know,
Texas
not just
bigger than, you know, Italy,
yeah.
You know.
Well, but it's not just the size of the state and landmass, it's their economy, because that's where all the crap comes together. You know, when you have all the businesses, import, export, you know, national or state reserve, you know, all these dynamics of a state decide, you have population and this, you know, the geographical size, because geographical size of Alaska is big, but hell, we had 650,000 people in the whole state, you know. So there's different dynamics, but, you know, all these things are important, and for myself, they're important, and I think that the reason I learned how to vet well was because I had to vet my candidate that I wanted to win. And my candidate that I wanted to win had a real plan, you know what I mean? Had a real platform, but he had a plan, and he could detail it out and make most people's heads spin. And he had a background. He knew how to work inside of a split, divided government. Because I'll tell you what, I mean, you got to think about this. Republicans take over. It isn't like we take 100% over. There's opposition there. You know, there's going to be Democrats in the Senate. There's going to be Democrats in the House. You know, you've got the Fed resisting any kind of intrusion into their little magical world. You know what I'm saying? We're on the edge of war. We're on the edge of wars. You know, rumors of wars. We have no idea what's going to happen in the Middle East from all these radicals taking over these countries. You know, a lot of people don't understand international politics in terms of world policy and what's going on in Syria and Iran and where China and Russia are tied in behind that. I mean, we're playing with fire, and it ain't just about Iran and Syria and your pet peeve against these bad people. There's a lot of people on both sides involved in this. You know, I mean, every conflict we had in the Cold War, there was either China was behind it or Russia was behind it. I mean, come on. So, anyway, there's just a lot of things that you have to think about. And we got time, yes. And do we have time? No. You know, so you need to get on it and do your vetting. You also need to find out in your state, you know, who's on the ballot, you know, who's on third, what's on first. But who's on the ballot, what the write-ins are. You may get there, you know, you're in a blue state like California, like Tom Holtzling said, you're in a blue state in California. The Republicans have pretty much given up on it. You can do what you want. You know, it's all a game. You know, and I don't think, I really, Robert, believe the Republicans don't believe a write-in will win. But you know what they don't want? They don't want a 20-plus percent mark on the board. They don't want a 25 to 30% mark on the board. Because what that number will do, I don't care if it's, I mean, it'd be great if it was one candidate, but I can tell you right now, just based on what I've experienced in my group, good luck trying to get everybody to get behind one candidate. But if two or three independents knock off 28, 30% of the vote, because, and really that would be nothing, contrary to people lying about what I said on the radio the other night and spreading it around, I said something, it was a lie. It's not. All you got to do is add up 40% of this country are independents. 30 to 40% of the Democrats, based on the stats I've looked at, are not going to vote anyway because they don't like Obama. He scares them to death, and they hate Romney because he represents everything they hate. And the same thing goes for Republicans. You know, it ain't just a handful of Newt people ain't going to vote for him. It's tens of millions of people. And I think people need to understand that. 30 million Christians set out with McCain. Don't kid yourself that we couldn't hit 28-30%, maybe more. You know.
Well, I think you could, especially to, you know, all the grassroots folks who would otherwise vote for a third party because they want at least, you know, one option to Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, that they could just coalesce and get behind one. Just that, you know, I mean, because it's not, you know, people are like, oh, well, I'm voting for Romney because he's not Obama. Well, okay, well, the same people who are against both of them could say the same thing. Well, okay, well, let's get behind somebody who's not Obama and who's not Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
You know, so let's find that third alternative.
Well, I think that, you know, we are just now getting into virtual good and that conversation, you know, that vetting process. You know, we've had Holfings. I have trouble with his last name, and I apologize.
Tom Holfling from the America's Party, yeah.
Tom is so simple. Tom. But, you know, he's been on Sammy's shows twice. He's been on your show once. And I got a couple of his guys
actually,
in my
Actually, he's been on my
group.
Show twice. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to correct you. He's been on a couple times.
You're tearing up my self-esteem. You're correcting me too much. Anyway, go ahead.
he just came on for a general conversation, him and one of the chairpersons of the party. But he came in for a one-on-one interview. The archives is going very well.
Yeah, and Gene interviewed him back in March, wasn't it? On his radio show.
I'm sorry, what?
And Gene interviewed him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I listened to Gene interview Tom, hopefully as well.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got a fair, you know, you know, there's been a lot of people, you know, have given him a fair platform to talk about who he is, you know, what he believes and what his plan is and stuff like that. I would like to get some Johnson guys, you know, or Gary Johnson to come on and clear up
of
the confusion.
Now that you're saying that, there are some people who are working on getting Gary Johnson to come onto my show.
Cool. Awesome.
I've already talked to some people and they're already working on trying to get Gary Johnson onto the show. Yeah,
that's cool. And also the other thing is Virgil Good and I learned this. I don't know. You learn things. You learn cool things at work. It's really neat if you can get somebody on who is an avid supporter who knows the crap. You know, that's up in the level in the party that can come on and talk. And then it's cool to get the actual person on because you get a little bit two different perspectives. You get the politician, but you also get the person that support them. You know, because we attract to what you attract to you defines a lot of who you are. Because you know they're out there selling themselves 24/7, and I think most people just like to hear the truth. You know, just tell me the truth. I got a question. Are you for NDAA? Oh yeah, I'd sign that. Well, you ain't my candidate because I don't want to live my life out in an internment camp, and you know, I'd be looking over my head for drones. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the truth. And then I can make a decision what I want to do. And this is to all those people out there that criticize this third-party conversation. When you lie, cheat, and steal, break rules, break laws, and break people's bones, and then expect me to support you and try to make me feel guilty because I don't, sorry. I'll be honest, that just doesn't work.
No, but I'm totally amazed with all those really staunch Newt supporters who are now like, oh my gosh, we got to, you know, vote for Romney now. And I'm like, you know all the ills of Romney, and now you think you got, well, because it's the fear of Obama. You know what I mean? That's just plainly what it is. It's the fear of Obama.
I guess.
And you know what they say about acting out of fear?
Yeah.
You know?
False evidence.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't stand Obama, and Obama's got to go. It just, I don't think there's going to be an improvement if Romney's the guy, especially when it for conservatism. I think one of the worst things that can happen for conservatives is for Romney to become the president, because then you're going to have the, you know, the liberal and moderate wing of the Republican Party going to the conservative and libertarian base of the party and saying, look, we don't need you guys anymore. We can get a moderate, the
we
liberal.
We can do it without you. Yeah.
Exactly.
You've talked about this before, and I don't know why people can't understand that.
Oh,
and
I haven't talked about it for a very long time.
All of our conservative friends, you know, that are now attacking us because we're discussing options, right? If Romney wins, they're going to be glad we did this research because they're going to be looking for a place to go.
I think so.
Dictator. He's a dictator. Look at what he did at the RNC. There's no.
No, I mean, I think they'll appreciate the research. You know, that's something I think they would. And I know there's a lot of people out there, including the people in the audience, who I thank you very much for coming into the show tonight. And I want to apologize for people for our interviewee not coming in. As I said, I hope Mr. Class is okay and for everything, nothing untowards has happened to him and or his family or anything like that. So if I get an update, you know, I'll let you know, maybe mention it on another show, or I'll mention it on another show for those who are concerned.
Let me add this. There's a point because I'm looking at your. I haven't been on chat because I get to yak in my jaw and I wander around and stuff. But I see you put up there. Gary is a libertarian, and this is something people don't understand. And it's that wordsmith issue. Libertarian is not liberal. They may be a little bit more socially liberal than conservatives like, but these are hardcore constitutionalists. And you need to do the research. And the other thing I think is important, and this isn't, I'm not promoting them, I'm just trying to educate people. The other thing you need to understand is that party platforms change by the people that are in them. And the more that a party grows and you vote your delegates and your state chairs and all these people, they define the platform and they pick the candidate. I mean, look, they picked Romney whether we wanted him or not. So, you know, there's that influence. And so what you may not like today can be tweaked and adjusted based on membership. So, you know, don't get locked in stone on any one thing or any one label. You know, I think people are looking at start, stop, you know, stop, start, win, lose. Life isn't that way. Life is a journey of things out in front of us. Look at the Republican Party. I mean, Robert, honestly, you and I have heard you say this so many times. I've been a Republican since I was 10. It's kind of a shock, awe kind of response, right? The Republican Party has changed in front of your face. Other parties can be changed. Other parties can be improved if you're a member of them. And I'm not saying, you know, go libertarian. I'm just saying don't get confused by the information you see today because that information could change as the dynamics and the membership changes. I believe one or two things are going to happen. Romney wins, the conservative grassroots movement in the party is killed, gone.
Right.
They will run you out. They were willing to run out 4 or 5 million Paul people. That's pretty risky considering it's the most – oh, wait. That's very risky considering it's supposed to be the most important election in the country in our lifetime. Ooh. But let me run off 4 or 5 million people. Let me try to kick them out of the party. Hey, that's a good move. You know, the youth, the ones that replace the old people that die off, you know, I'm just mind-boggling to me. So that is just a hint of what they would do if they get in power. If they get in power, you mean nothing to them. And the way they set up that, you know, what they did at the RNC says – if you don't understand you mean nothing to them, then you need to read basic English and watch a few of the videos and articles that I have. Because that's what they're saying. You mean nothing. You're gonna toe the line, do what we want. Now, go back to 18.
Go ahead.
Well, go back to 18.
Well, we're not the big money contributors, you know what I mean? We're not the Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, but we add
up. You know, that's,
but
well,
we're the boots on the ground.
Yeah, we're the voters, But they think that
they
can do so much care tactics.
And the people who do the work. You know. But go back to 1854. You had a party called the Whig Party. Corrupt, top-heavy, authoritating. You can say the word for me.
Authoritative.
thank you. You know, dictatorial.
And a bunch of people got ticked off and formed a new party in 1854. Guess what it was called? The Republican Party. It was the third party. You don't think they had some crappy things to say about the Republican Party? Who was the first president that we got under the Republican Party? Trick question.
Lincoln.
Yeah.
Well, and also one of the founders of the Republican Party, George Curtis, left the party as well. So it's not, you know, it's not unprecedented for people to leave a party, even if they're one of the founders.
But, well, Go ahead.
Chris, unfortunately, I have about a minute left or so, at least for the thank yous, and then I like to end with the closing song in order. You know, that's kind of my unwinding from the show's events. But thank you very much, Chris, for coming in and all your contributions, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night when you, Ryan,
awesome.
And Kelly and others talk about state sovereignty. Thank you, everyone else who's called in. Thank you to Samuel Sanford, everyone who's coming to the chat, and everyone who's listened to the archives. Once again, I apologize for the gentleman not showing up tonight. Hopefully he's okay. Maybe I'll have an update for that later, pending if the communication between myself and Mr. Class. But thank you very much, everyone. Take care. Have a good night, and I hope to see you all tomorrow. So see you then. Thank you.